Yeah, what's up, Paul?
What's up, Mikey?
You're my guest today.
Yes, sir.
And we just did 30 minutes of good stuff, and I wasn't recording.
That's all right. Me and you know the stories.
Oh, my God. That sucks. You're in a band. I'm all like disheveled now. No, you're in a band. It's called Death Dealer. The album's called Silence Speaks Volumes. Really good stuff. Hardcore band.
It's a free download if you check us out.
Yeah.
Facebook.
What's the address?
Death Dealer LI .bandcamp.com, and you get the album for free. There's a link on there for Facebook and Twitter, and that's where we get all the shows and everything on there.
You could download it right to your iPod, and when you listen to it, you could double click it, and the lyrics are on the other side.
Which I did not know until you told me today.
That's fucking awesome. And you got the first hardcore album you listened to was the Cro-Mags.
Yeah, and I just picked it up.
That's a good one.
It's a great one. I still listen to it to this day.
I'm really hot right now, by the way.
I have the AC on.
Not because of that, because of what just happened. I'm like burning up right now because of...
I'm a little sweaty too.
Because we just did 30 minutes of solid stuff and I wasn't recording it. I'm totally embarrassed and humiliated right now.
Don't be embarrassed, bro.
I'm so hot.
It's all good, dude.
And now I'm hot.
You're heated.
Like,
I'm
all tight too.
You're heated.
Look, I'm looking
at
you.
Yeah,
you're
stressed out. You are a fucking tough-looking motherfucker.
It's all fucking body language. I'm fucking so tight right now.
I wish this was a video podcast. You could see how mad Mike looks.
I was thinking about doing that, actually.
You should.
You were telling me when I fucked up, when I was recording, that you got into hardcore because you went to a ska show, and there was a punk band there, and they were really good, and you picked up the cassette, and then you went to another show.
Yeah, it just built from there.
It built from there. Then you heard that Cro-Mags, Age of Quar, which is one of the best albums of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
And
there was that. Then I got into Bad Brains. From there, and then
that's another one of those bands. It's like one and done, I think. One album is good.
Yeah, I would go with that. They got too reggae for me. And I like the reggae shit, but it's a little...
I don't hate it.
I like the mix where they play a hardcore song and then... You see them live. They play 5-6 hardcore songs in a row, and then they cool it down a little. A nice 5-minute reggae song, and then they fucking break it up again.
I've never seen them.
No,
I've seen Fearless Vampire Killers, which is the
I never saw them.
Which is who is it? It's John Joseph and fuck. It's a couple guys doing.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
do Cro-Mags.
Yeah.
And
Bad Brains songs.
It was
That's
fucking
awesome.
Great. It was great.
I went to the CBGB show that they played when they were doing the last shows over there for Bad Brains. And they played two nights. I got in the second night.
Nice.
I couldn't get in the first night. It was fucking crazy. Dude. That was another thing. You were on DVD for Agnostic Front with your Wayne Corbett jersey.
I was on there a couple times, actually.
Yeah, and I was at that show. And I remember I told you, I said, yo, that Agnostic Front show was crazy. And you were like, you weren't there. I didn't see you. And I said, I walked in as Agnostic Front was walking onto the stage. I walked in to the fucking CBGB.
Like last minute.
And the bouncer, they weren't even standing by the door anymore. I just walked right in. I didn't even pay.
Really?
Yeah. But I couldn't get to the front. I was stuck all the way in the back by the bar.
That sucks. Because it's such a narrow fucking walkway.
There was so many people there. I couldn't. I was stuck. I was stuck by the merch. I stood up. You remember they had the little table on the top for the merch?
Yeah.
I was stuck all the way back there.
That was a fucking great
show, man.
It was
crazy.
And if you watch the document, the DVD,
they
go with the camera through the line.
Yeah.
And my friend Danny, who's not into hardcore, he just came for a ride.
Yeah.
Is on that thing screaming, yeah! And he's not even into it.
That's hilarious.
He just saw a camera and he fucking
That's
went into
so
action.
Funny. On the Scarhead video that they did at Black and Blue Boat 2 or 3 years ago, you see me and my girl standing there.
Oh, that's cool.
It's so funny. And they did the same thing. They pan the line of the Black and Blue Boat, and you see me and my Kill Your Idol shirt like this.
I got to ask you, man, how was Kill Your Idols at Black
and
Blue?
They were fucking awesome, dude. Old school lineup, Rafe playing drums. Which, no disrespect to Vinny. Vinny was great.
Hold on.
Sorry.
Okay, good. I just got to make sure.
Oh, you're still recording.
I got to make sure we're recording.
That button is pressed. I've been looking at it.
All right, good. Thank you. Thanks for that. All right, so Rafe's on drums.
So Rafe's playing drums. They played all, the first three albums, select songs off of them. They were fucking great, dude.
Wait a minute. They didn't do Commander's...
Your favorite album?
They didn't do nothing off of that.
No.
Dude, that's their best album.
I know, that's your argument, but it's not.
What do you mean?
This is just the beginning.
That's their first one, kind of.
And their best album.
So they never got better after that?
They got better musically, I would definitely say that. The songs are better, But the heart and the emotion in that first 8-song, 15-minute album, you can't duplicate it.
That's the thing to do now. A lot of bands are doing their old shit. Breakdown, their demo. And,
I mean, you see Cro-Mags now. They play Age of Quarrel front to back, one Bad Brains cover, and they're off. That's it. That's
great.
Yeah.
Is it John Joseph?
It's Cro-Mags? John Joseph.
Not good, because that's the only Cro-Mags I know.
Yeah, and no Harley, though. They got...
Nah, they can't have him in a band. They'll fucking...
Well, actually, they had Paul and Gary from Killer Idols. They played over here in Ollie's Point. And they had
Who
Paul...
Cro-Mags played Ollie's Point?
They played Ollie's Point, and they had Paul on bass and Gary from Killer Idols on guitar.
How the fuck did they play that place? That place is tiny, right?
Yeah, but, you know, it's not that tiny. It's the old Molly Blooms. Molly Blooms 2, you remember?
I think I was there when it was called the Vegas.
That's a little before my time, Michael.
No, shit, sorry.
I remember it as Molly Blooms. Molly Blooms 2.
Maybe that's a different place. I don't know what
Vegas
thing is.
I never heard of the Vegas.
I don't know what this Vegas thing is.
I think you just made that up.
There wasn't Coke there or nothing. I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't a Coke bar, no. But
you didn't. It might have been the same place. Well, there was a swing set back in the day. That was a huge venue.
Yeah.
In Bayshore. I got my tooth knocked out.
I saw, were you at the Sick of It Overthrow?
All. Yeah, that's where I got my tooth knocked out.
And the big tooth right here.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Right here, this tooth right here is fake.
Which one? The big one or the
little
one?
The one right in the front.
Oh, it looks good.
You can see the line though a little bit.
It looks real. I don't see it.
Yeah, it's fake.
Wow.
I got fucking booted in the face by a skinhead.
Really?
Yeah. They're in Sick of It All. I was like 16 or 17.
I remember that show good because people were jumping through the hole in the ceiling.
Yeah, it was crazy. Right,
so there was a
hanging off of the pipes too on the ceiling.
Yeah, there was a second floor, but there was a hole.
It wasn't a hole. It was like a staircase that wrapped around.
Was that what it was?
And there was a balcony, but you could see down into the dance floor.
Yeah, right, right.
And people were hanging off of the balcony and falling into the pit.
It was sick. It was fucking crazy. Overthrow's a good band too, man.
Great
I like
band.
Them.
Yeah, I never really like.
They played the Black
listened
and Blue
to their
too.
CDs really, but I've seen them since back then.
Yeah,
you know, I've seen them a bunch of times. They're fucking awesome.
They played with Kill Your Idols that day.
When?
At the Black and Blue. They were there with Overthrow,
Kill
Your Idols.
I missed them, unfortunately.
And
Judge, Indecision.
Dude, Judge was fucking awesome that first day.
I skipped out.
What?
I can't do it, bro. I like them. Their music is great. Their lyrics just bug the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah, I know that straight edge
the
shit.
The whole straight edge shit. Yeah, like, I listen, I got no problem whatsoever with straight edge bands. I love straight edge bands. Good, Clean, Fun, Champion, Bane. Like, they're all... But when somebody tells me I'm a fucking asshole because I'm drinking a beer,
yeah,
it's I'm just like, yeah, fuck you.
It's a little too much, I know.
You know what I mean? That's the only reason. And I can't stand for it. It bugs the shit out of me.
Yeah, I understand. For me, Judge is one of those bands I heard when I was like 12.
Nah,
so I always have that connection to them.
I get
but
it.
I can't. When I'm in the car, I don't sing along to it because
you can't.
I'm singing against myself.
You can't, yeah. Like, you're calling yourself a dick for drinking a beer. It's like, come on, man. I'm not a bad guy. I never fucking drove drunk and killed nobody, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm a fucking decent dude. But I like to have a beer. What the fuck's a big deal? It just gets to me. I can't do it.
I saw a video on, Instagram has video now.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy, he was in, Mike Judge was doing, I think he has like a blues band or something.
All right.
He was doing it from the pit of a skate park.
Yeah.
Like a pool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was on the bottom doing his fucking, it was pretty fucking cool.
That's awesome.
It was pretty fucking
cool. My old band played a show like that in the skate park. It was,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. But we weren't in the bottom, we were on the top of the ramp. We played on the top.
Right.
It was in like, Asbury Park, somewhere in New Jersey, and we were at the top of the skate ramp, and it was like a little...
Was it called Garden Skate?
No, it was indoors.
Oh, okay.
Indoors. And it was, we were at the top, there was a little place to dance, and then kids were skateboarding. It was fucking, it was really cool, man. It was a fucking cool
that
show.
That sounds great, man.
Yeah, it was cool.
I went to some place in Jersey called Rexplex.
Oh, I've been to Rexplex.
I saw Agnostic Front there.
Get the fuck out of here. They played there?
Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
That was a lot
I used
of fun.
To play paintball there.
All right, hardcore music.
All right.
This is the first in a series of hardcore shows. I've been wanting to do a hardcore show for a while. What do you love? Do you love? You love hardcore. I love hardcore.
Yeah.
You're in a band. You go to the shows. We live the lifestyle.
Yeah.
You got tattoos all over yourself, which isn't it's a hardcore thing.
It is a hardcore thing.
Because the first guys with tattoos was like Harley and Jimmy G from Murphy. Those were the first real tattooed guys.
John Joseph.
Rabies and them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a hardcore thing. Now it's a commercial thing.
Definitely.
So
But you're in the scene. You're ingrained.
I
mean,
I would more say it's ingrained in me. You know what I'm saying?
Like, why is that? Not,
it's a way. Hardcore is not just like, all right, yeah, it's based around the music, I would say, but it's a way to present yourself, to live your life. It's like, I'm not going to take, like what we were just saying with Judge just 2 seconds ago. I'm going to stand up for what I believe in, regardless of what you say. And that's it. That's hardcore. That's what I feel hardcore is. And I'm not going to take any shit for it. And if you don't like it, fuck you. And that's it. That's how I feel about hardcore. All the moshing, all the bands, all represents that central idea.
Right.
And that's what I feel. We're not going to take any shit. We're not going to stand for any bullshit. I'm not gonna fucking come up to me and have someone tell me I'm a fucking asshole because right. I'm fucking drinking a beer.
Yeah,
you know, and the only thing that I don't stand for is like intolerance. If somebody's racist, sexist, homophobic, what, fuck all that shit. Yeah. I don't want any of that shit in my show. Other than that, whatever you believe, that's what you believe. Just believe it in your heart. Wholeheartedly.
Right.
And stand up for it. Support yourself.
Yeah.
Then that's what it is.
Now, how does it feel going from, you've been to many, many shows,
yes.
Danced, fucking
broken bones.
You said you broke your hand at a show.
Yeah.
And
at a Youth of Today
show. You're a big motherfucker. Dude, you're a big dude.
I'm a big motherfucker. 6'6".
You jump off a stage a couple times?
Not so much anymore.
Dude, I know you ain't jumping off no stage.
I tried to crowd walk there in Black and Blue Bowl. Yeah, it wasn't good. Well, it was fine for me. It wasn't good for the people underneath it.
Yeah, no shit. So how was it now being on the stage? Like, you're a drummer, so you don't really look. You can't really
it's
look.
It's a little different.
You can't look at the people, really.
You know what? Though you get the same, that same feeling. I look at it this way. I've always loved making music, playing music, playing drums, whether it was, you know, whatever. It didn't even have to be a hardcore band. I was in punk bands. I was in ska bands. I was in some just like indie rock bands, whatever. I just love playing music. And then, but you get that same feeling as you do watching. I look at playing in a hardcore band like as our contribution back to the scene, trying to keep this thing that we all do still alive.
Right.
Because it's not going to happen just by happenstance. It's not just going to continue with no promoters, no venues, no bands.
Yeah.
And nobody going to the shows. There's no point.
You got
to
be proactive.
So you got to be proactive. So that's kind of how I look at it. And it's also, it's a hobby. It's a release from our everyday, excuse me, bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? Like you, I work 60-something hours a week, 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
And it's you get behind the drums or, you know, whatever, you pick up your instrument and you're just like, fuck, that's it. Nothing else.
That's your release.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, and you just put all your bullshit into that fucking instrument or those songs.
Oh, so that's interesting. So it's like my release is going to a show and not so much dancing anymore, but I still go up and I shout the lyrics.
Yeah.
And
but that's what I was saying. It's the same feeling. So it's like the same thing.
That's now this is your release as well, is getting behind there and just...
Just wailing them out.
Banging it out and doing what you do.
Just doing what we do. And it's also good, man, because, you know, there's no drama. We're not fucking, you know, some band that's always fighting with each other. We're boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you guys get along and
stuff. Yeah, we come down here. We hang. We're in our studio, my rehearsal studio right now, recording.
What's the name of the studio?
Cellar Door Studios in lovely Amityville, New York.
I would go easy on that lovely. Oh, you said that sarcastically, didn't
yes.
you?
Amity means friendship.
Yeah, sure, motherfucker.
yeah, we come down here, we fucking, you know, hang out, drink a couple beers, write a couple songs, and that's it. You know, it's not like we're trying to get on a big record label or nothing like that. It's our release.
It's great, because I remember one time I was hanging out at some place. I don't know where the fuck I was. I was at a party, and this dude was in, he was into hardcore, and it was weird. I say into hardcore loosely.
Yeah.
Because we had a conversation, and I was like, yeah, I would like to be in a band. I would like to sing in a band because I don't play any instruments.
You said that to me a long time ago, too. You remember that?
I would something I would always like to do. Yeah. It's done now because I got two kids. I work 12 hours
a
day.
You can still do it.
It's fucking over, kid. I'll do some guest spots. I'll do some guest spots
there
if you want.
Do some covers.
But anyway, the guy was like, why would you want to do that? You,
this was a guy who said he was in the hardcore.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't make any money doing that. I was like, I got a job.
It's never been about money.
I was like, I got a job.
Never been about money.
Like, it's the last thing I ever thought about when I thought about singing in a band was money.
Yeah, yeah. No, you don't.
You know, it's funny. When the guy said that to me, and I was like, I got a job.
Yeah.
He was like, He gave me that, like, that Scooby look. Like,
yeah, no, you definitely don't get into playing hardcore music to be on some little girl's wall on a poster, you know? Like, that Kill Your Idols song, I'm not the picture that you hung on your walls.
Something again, yeah.
Yeah.
Discarded again or something.
Some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And but that's it. You don't get into hardcore to be that. You get into hardcore because that's you. That's your life. This is real life. And all the bullshit you deal with at work or school or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's you get it out. You don't have to deal with it for that hour or 2 hours that you're at a show or in a studio rehearsing or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. That's really what it is. And hardcore is just the catalyst of it, I guess you could say.
It's not just music. It's a way of life. You're right. That's what you said earlier.
I feel that the music is even almost secondary to it, where you get into... All right, I'll put it this way. I got into hardcore because of the music, but as I learned, like, listened to lyrics and learned about it and figured it out, I was like, you know what? The music is almost a byproduct of living a hardcore lifestyle, where you're just doing everything for yourself, by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And living where you're honest with yourself and with everybody else around you.
Yeah.
And the music is the byproduct, not the forefront.
Right. That's perfect. That's fucking beautiful, man. Because when you were saying that, I was thinking of a band. It's a band called Bold, and they have an album called Speak Out.
Yeah.
Now, if I just pulled somebody in off the street and said, listen to this album, they were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no.
What is this?
And that's why you can't just throw hardcore on somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do it. It's not possible. They won't get it. If they're not into it by a certain time, that those formidable years, like 14 to 18, you're not going to get it.
You're out.
Yeah.
You're done.
Like some dude in my job, he's like, oh, like he knows I play drums and then I'm playing a band. He's like, oh, what are you, a death metal band? I'm like, yeah, that's it, dude. Like,
yeah, motherfucker.
He's like 40 and I'm like, yeah, it's a death metal band. You can't even begin to explain it.
You know what the go-to band for old people is?
Slayer.
You listen to Gwar. It's always Gwar.
Yeah. Check out the song Preschool Prostitute.
This Toilet Earth. Yeah, I'm a Gwar band.
Sadamagogo. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's what we're about.
Or Bad Luck 13 Riot Extravaganza. Go check them out.
But what I was saying about the Bold thing was if you fucking... It sounds like it was recorded underwater. The album.
It doesn't matter, though.
But if you just open up those lyrics
and
read the lyrics as you're listening to the music,
it's crazy.
Because, like you said, the first thing you hear is the music and the beat. If you read, you'll love it. That's one of my brother mentioned it in the last podcast. That Bold album is one of his favorites, and I agree with him mainly because of the fucking lyrics, man. It's great.
See, now, like, I do like going back old school style and listening to old school hardcore, but that's a little before my time, and I just never like. Like where I said, well, that was actually before recording, but I said I got into bands from going to shows. I never saw them. They never came on my radar, you know, and I just never listened to it.
They were long gone by that time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, I was 12 the first time I went to a show. I was born in 83, so that was 95.
Yo, hardcore was in trouble at that time.
Madball, 25 to Life and VOD almost every fucking weekend.
So 25 to Life played every weekend.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean, I saw Agnostic Front once in a while. They would pop up and do like a little... But that's when they were going through a real rough point.
Yeah.
Before they put out Something's Gotta Give. I saw Warzone one time, but I didn't know the...
history behind
it? Yeah, I didn't get it. I was only like 13.
Yeah.
Because he died in what, 97?
It's been a while now, yeah.
I think he died September 11, 1997.
Was that at the Common Ground, that show?
I don't know.
Was it on Long Island?
No, it was... No. It was in the city. It was with... Okay. I think it was at the Continental with Elias Stitches and... I don't know. It was so long ago. But I remember... And I was like, oh, I'm going to check this band Warzone, and I heard that song as one.
What did you think when he wasn't on the stage? When he
it was crazy.
He was, in the crowd.
It was crazy, man. I never seen nothing like it.
Yeah, it was great.
And I picked up, at that time, it was, I think it was Old School to New School. The one with the blue cover with the yellow with the guy like this.
Yeah.
I picked that up on cassette, and it like blew my fucking mind.
Really?
I couldn't believe it.
Because I don't really even like that one too much. But
yeah, but that was my first...
That
was my first introduction to Warzone.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I seen them, and I was like, wow, these guys are fucking awesome. And
that's why I wanted to get you on, because of that generational gap. It's really interesting.
I mean, when I was, like I said, formative years, like 14 to 18 was a lot of Sick of It All, a lot of Madball. Gnostic Front, like I said, came out with Something's Gotta Give. But I also got into, like, Bane. I got into Kill Your Idols, obviously, was one of the biggest. Toxic Narcotic from Boston is unbelievable. I don't know if you ever listened to them.
I have the 89.99 disc.
That album. I was actually talking to one of my buddies who's in this room with me, Craig. They're the angriest band from the Northeast I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And they are just, musically, they're one of the best hardcore bands of all time. They're unbelievable. And it's a shame they broke up. We're actually playing a show with Opposition Rising, which is the singer and the guitar player from Toxic Narcotic's new band. I think at the end of next month, we're playing with them, and they're fucking great too.
Yeah, they have a couple songs, Fuck You, You Fucking Fuck.
People suck. I'm a human racist. It's fucking great.
And
Drink.
Drink and
Asshole.
Yeah, the hits. I like the hits.
The hits.
I like the Toxic Narcotic hits, the singles.
They're all hits. I remember seeing them at C-Squat. With what the fuck, Choking Victim, and it was that place is that's a half pipe also that place. You ever been there?
No, I never.
That's some like their ABC and no Rio shit. Like we got.
Kicked. Oh yeah.
That's the same kind of shit. You remember that shit?
Tell that story. So tell me what happened, man. Because you got the inside track on this.
We went to the city. It was me, you, and you want me to say his last name, Chris.
There was somebody else.
Yeah, it was three of us. Me, you, and Chris. Remember the black rim glasses, Chris, with the N?
He was there.
It was the three of us.
I don't remember him at all.
He was in the back seat. Me and you again.
Dude, I don't remember him.
Yeah, because that's when I was living with him in West Babylon.
All right, so there was three of us.
It was three of us. We go to ABC No Rio, see Kill Your Idols. I don't know who else was playing. I don't even remember. Which is, ABC No Rio is, it's classified, if you look it up, it's classified as a art collective, I believe. Or museum in the city. So they don't pay rent. They're a bunch of like squatters that live there, basically. Like dirty punks.
Right.
So we roll up. You know, I think I'm wearing camo shorts and Sambas and a t-shirt, a band shirt of some nature, and you the same.
I think I remember being a little chilly out.
It was kind of chilly.
We
it was like
Obama's?
It was like March. You know what? We might have been.
I think that's what it
we
was.
We might have been. I know I was wearing camo shorts though, because I've been to that place before and it gets hot as fuck in there.
Right, right.
So I knew I was wearing camo shorts. So we might have been wearing bomber jackets though. But it was like the end of March. And we walk up and we go to pay to get in. And the kid that's standing there with his half a head dreadlock
goes
and his, you know, big Doom patch on the back, which I love Doom, by the way, don't get me wrong. But goes, nah, it's sold out. So we go, okay, whatever. We fucking leave. We go to some bar on the Lower East Side, start drinking, hanging out. And then about a week or so later, I see a good friend of mine who I've known forever. And he goes, what happened? I didn't see you at ABC No Rio last week or two weeks ago. And I said, oh, we got there. It was sold out. And he goes, what are you talking about? He's like, there was like 30 people in the place. And this place probably holds like 75 to 100 people. He goes, there was like, you know, maybe 30 people there. And I said, the guy at the door told us it was sold out. Me and my friend Mike Russo and Chris, and they said it was sold out. And he said, dude, they probably told you that shit because you guys look like fucking thugs. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's fucking Kill Your Idols. They're a hardcore band. We just look like hardcore kids. We're not dressed like fucking... We're not in woo wear and shit, you know, we're whatever.
Half of the fucking thing about hardcore is there's no fucking dress
code.
Yeah,
it is what it is. You are who you are. And we and that fucking... That was probably what, 04, 05?
Yeah, it was about that 10 years ago. Maybe.
Yeah, it's got to be 10 years ago, and to this day it bugs the shit out of me.
Now, why did he say that? Because he heard that was going on.
Yeah, well, because there was nobody in there that looked like us, except for Kill Your Idols.
Right.
That's it. They don't let that place, ABC No Rio, is everything I hate about the scene. They turned that place into like a hipster place. Like,
really?
Yeah, dude. My old band, like two or three bands ago, it was like a punk band, like a skate punk band. That was the place, the band that we played at the skate park. I'm not even going to mention the name because it was terrible.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It was called Aggressive Force.
I like that fucking CD.
You like that CD?
I liked it. I still have it in my car.
Really?
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I think
I have a bad memory of that band just because me and the singer had a really bad falling out.
And it
kind of fucking really put a bad taste with everything about that band in my mouth. But whatever, it is what it is. But we were supposed to play there. They scheduled us to play, and I was against it the whole time because of that story
where
we got kicked the fuck out. And I was like, fuck that place.
Kicked out? They never even let us in.
They didn't even let us in.
To kick us out.
Yeah, so whatever. So I was like, fuck that place. I don't really. But my singer was like, yeah, come on. It's a good show. There's a lot of bands. It's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be a good time. It's the middle of summer. It's nice out. So I said, okay, whatever, fuck it, let's just play, right? And I figured I would go play, set up, and bounce, which I usually don't do unless I have to, because I like to see the other bands, and even just to pay respect to the other bands, even if you don't like their music.
Yeah, right.
But we had to submit our lyrics before they would even let us play there.
Dude, that's fucking bullshit.
To make sure there was no racist, no sexist, no nothing on the lyrics, which we didn't have any. That's not why it pissed me off.
It's not the point.
The point is that we had to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? Fuck that.
There's no way that place is still around.
It's still around.
Having bands there?
Dude, they pay... excuse me. They pay like $2 a month rent because they're...
Certified
museum.
Yeah,
it's like an art museum
shit.
Or some dumb shit.
That's fucking bullshit. That's almost like that shit that's going on now with censorship and fucking...
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a second. This is a punk rock, hardcore, DIY fucking venue. And you're going to censor... Even though I don't agree with those lyrics, the fact, like...
What's the point?
You're going to censor somebody.
Yeah.
That's what bugged me.
I think what bothers me about that is they're going to judge you.
Yeah.
Like, they're like... on some kind of hill or a pedestal to look down on you.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like they have power, so they're going to use it.
Like, who the fuck are you? I'll never go to that place again. Like, who the fuck do these people think they are?
That's why I'm surprised there's still bands there, because you know how many bands are like, fuck you?
They're touring bands, dude. They get a lot of touring bands. They have a name, too. Like, it's a name. ABC No Rio is a fucking...
What do you mean, touring bands?
Like, they get
bands
a lot
from,
of,
like,
yeah,
other states
that come
and stuff?
Through. Because what it also is a squat. So bands that are coming through New York can play and sleep there.
Oh, right, right.
So, because it's a squat. Kind of like the same thing as C-Squat was. But C-Squat was fucking awesome. They didn't care what you did. You could smoke crack in the middle of the fucking dance floor and nobody gave a shit.
That's good.
Yeah, there were some crazy nights at that place.
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that story. Yeah.
That was crazy,
it's
man.
Nuts, man. I was so pissed at that.
Fucking ridiculous.
I was so pissed at that.
And I remember when you told me about that.
Yeah.
I was like...
And you know when I told you about that? That we went like 2 weeks later to go see we went to go see Murphy's Law on a boat and we didn't get on. You remember it left like 5 minutes before we got there.
We were late.
It was me, you, and Jay.
Yeah.
And we were late, and I told you that night.
And I was thinking back, I was like, what the fuck? How, what were we wearing?
Yeah, that's
and
what I mean.
That's when I was like, we were wearing Obama jackets.
Yeah, or
I mean,
t-shirts.
That was about
nothing, yeah.
You had the black one, I had the green one.
Yeah.
The fuck?
I don't even think I was wearing boots. I was probably just wearing Sambas or something.
Fucking horse shit.
It's bullshit. Ugh, it makes me sick.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Now, how are you with new bands? Like, what new bands do you like?
Right now, we just played Thursday night, this past Thursday, at this place in Island Park called No Fun Club. We played with a local band called Grime Watch, who's pretty good. Their singer's, unfortunately, the PA is not great, so I couldn't really hear the singer. But I'm going to download their album, see how it is. But they sounded good. Then we played with a band from Florida, which unfortunately I missed because I was setting up my drums.
Mm-hmm.
A new band, well, I don't know how new they are. They've probably been out for a couple years, but this band called Media Blitz from California. And it was one of the best live shows I've seen.
Media, like M-E-D-I-A?
Media, like media, and Blitz, like you know, Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
And
like who?
Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, I thought you said Lord and Taylor.
No.
What do you mean, Lord and Taylor? Shopping Blitz?
Yeah, they were brutal. They were amazing.
Really?
Yeah, there's them. Right now, they're touring the North Coast. North Coast. The Northeast.
At the top of Canada?
Yeah. They're right in by Alaska. Vows is a local band that's really fucking good right now.
See, now, I like that fast shit. Like your band. Yeah, I like the fast shit, the brutal shit.
You need to check this band Vows out. Yeah. They're really fast, really brutal, brutal lyrics. But they also have, like, really good melodic parts to their songs that are really fucking awesome.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, and they're great live.
You guys play Sinclair's yet?
Our first show was at Sinclair's.
We
like that place a lot. We're good friends with all the guys there. But with our last band, my new band, Death Dealer, is a culmination of my previous band, which was Out of Step. So with Out of Step, we played there like every other weekend.
Right.
So in Death Dealer, we're kind of like, let's break it out a little bit, you know?
I hear that, yeah.
So, and they put on great shows in Claire's. I go there all the time, hang out, but we just kind of, we're trying to get more into like Brooklyn and the city.
Yeah, well, you want to play different places.
Yeah, and plus we're not playing as often. We're trying to only keep it like once or twice a month.
Yeah.
With Death Dealer, because like I said, we all work 60, 70 hours
rough,
a week,
dude. I don't know
how
you do it.
It's
kind of
hard. Like my guitar player AJ is a mailman, and he works every Saturday. So if we play a Friday night, he's I gotta bounce, dude. Like I gotta wake up to go deliver the mail. Or if we play a Saturday night, he's like, oh, fucking shot, I just delivered the mail all day. You know what I mean? Like,
you're getting married, too.
I'm getting married. I just got engaged on the 4th of July.
Oh, man, congratulations.
Thank you, bro.
Not that has any bearing on what you're going to do.
It doesn't. And the thing is that Laura, my girl is Laura. She's really cool to all this shit.
Oh, that's great.
You know, she doesn't break my balls. She comes to most of the shows unless she's, you know, shot.
Yeah.
Or whatever, sleeping, or she's hanging out with our dog. But, yeah, she loves the band, and she was never into hardcore before she met me.
Yeah.
But she was always into like heavy rock and metal and shit, and she's cool with it. She has a good time. She's friends with everybody in the band. So.
Oh, that's great. That's cool.
Yeah,
she's always been really cool. Easy. I mean, I've met her a bunch of times.
She's awesome, man.
Let me ask you this: when I go on Instagram and I do a search for NYHC hashtag search to see what pictures are out there, cool pictures, 65 to 70% of the pictures is of Backtrack. Now, I didn't mean to laugh.
I'm sorry.
Dude, I downloaded two of their songs. I don't get it. What is the big deal with them?
I don't know. I don't get it either.
What the fuck? Like, what's going on with that band?
All right, listen. Let me put it out there. I saw Backtrack for the first time at TGI Fridays in Center Reach with Killer Idols. It was like 07.
Right.
Right? Like right before they did that string of three shows for Kill Your Idols slash three shows.
At the restaurant.
No. It was like a catering hall called TGI Fridays.
Oh, okay, good.
And they were okay. They were pretty good. They played a lot of fast, hardcore, you know, up-tempo shit. Now, the last time I saw Backtrack was with H2O and Terror, which I don't really like.
You know what it is about Terror? They get me. It's fast.
Yeah.
Then they lose me.
Really?
In the same song.
You know what it is with Terror about me? The songs are good, and then the guy starts talking on stage, and I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
Oh, he's one of those.
Oh, he kills me every time.
He's one of those guys.
Oh, every time. I've seen him like 10 times.
I can't get through one song because they lose me somewhere within the song.
The music's good. I just can't. He says the dumbest shit. Like, hey, if you're in a band and you're at this show, you're cool. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
That's awesome.
Shut up.
So Backtrack.
So the last time I saw them, and I didn't think their set was bad. I just think, like, actually, I thought it was good. It's just not my style. It's just very slow and sludgy almost. And I don't know. It just doesn't grab me.
Why do they have... It doesn't grab me either, but I had to check them out because there's so many people.
I have their first demo, like they handed them out when they first started. I have it in my house, and And I still listen to it. It's a good demo. I just I don't know. Their newer stuff just doesn't get me.
I'm glad you said that, because I thought maybe I was getting a little out of touch a little bit.
Mike, I'm with you, bro.
You know what's good?
What?
Fucking, you ever hear, it's a local band. They play St. Clair's all the time. Live Fast, Die Fast.
They're my boys, bro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a good band.
I went to high school with the guitar player.
Really?
Yeah, they're my homies, man.
That's a good fucking band.
Before we were in this studio, we shared our rental room with them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. They're my boys, bro. They're great.
I saw them at,
They have Vinny Stigma on their new record.
Oh, really?
On their past record, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
He introed the past record, and Mike Gallo produced it.
Oh, I didn't know they were down with those
guys. Down with those
dudes.
I
saw them at the Hardcore Barbecue last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we played that.
Really?
Out of step. At my old...
Oh, I would have noticed you.
Oh, you know what?
I think
maybe we played that 2 years ago. I'm sorry.
When I was there, I saw Live Fast, Die Fast, Wisdom in Chains, and maybe...
That's right. That was 2 years ago we played.
Oh, that was 2 years ago?
Yeah, Ivan King.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking you didn't play, because I would have noticed your ass.
Yeah, no, 2 years ago we played.
If I could see you in the black and blue
I stand over the top of the crowd.
A mile away.
My head stands over the top. That's why I don't stand in the front of the stage, because I get kicked in the face. I'm the first I'm the first one to get hit in the head.
Yeah, you're the first guy. you know Caught in a Trap?
Oh, I love Caught. You turned me on to Caught in a Trap.
Okay, good.
You know that? Because you go, yo, look at this hat. This is my new favorite hat. And I said, what? It just had the little NYHC over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I looked on the back. It says Caught in a Trap. And I checked them out. And they're fucking good. We played with them a couple times. They're
Fucking
really good band.
I actually had to throw the hat away last week.
Why?
It was too old and fucked up.
Oh, yeah. You've had that hat for a long time.
Oh, I love that hat.
You're like, this is my new favorite hat.
I love that hat. It's my hat. What about Shell Shock? You know Shell Shock?
I don't know Shell Shock.
They're a good band. My brother turned me on to them. But the funny thing...
Aren't they an old school band?
There's a bunch of Shell Shocks
out
there.
Right.
But I think this is a newer one.
Okay.
The fucked up thing is my brother said he's seen them live.
Yeah.
And they're hipsters.
And that... You know what, though, dude? Like, when we play shows in Brooklyn, we played St. Vitus, we played the Archeron, we played Trash Bar. All the bands are hipster bands.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. You go to Williamsburg. You ever been to Williamsburg yet lately?
Not in a couple of years.
Yeah, dude. It's like fucking Disneyland over
there.
But
even the hardcore bands are like
hardcore
that?
Hardcore bands. Hipsters.
That's weird. I don't know how I feel about that, because the music's good. The lyrics, the hardcore lyrics.
It's the way it is now,
but the
bro.
Weird guy, the guy's got like the full... I'm not making fun of you.
I got
beard,
a beard.
But he's got the full beard, and he's wearing like a poncho.
The flannels.
The flannel. And he's got like a Santa hat.
The tight shorts. The tight shorts.
So it's like
with the cutoffs.
It's a weird dichotomy.
It's hipster hardcore. Yeah, I mean
as long as
you listen, you listen to that band Ceremony?
No, I never heard of it.
Oh, dude. They're from Cali, but they're brutal.
Sounds like a black metal band.
It does. But they're fucking great. And dude, you see them, they're straight hipsters. That's what it is.
You know what though? If the music is good, the lyrics are good, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It really doesn't matter.
They're really good, man.
Yeah.
That's like doing something that I don't like to do, which is
judge,
prejudging people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna look at you. All right, you dress like a hipster, whatever. Hey, do yourself. Do you?
Yeah.
You know, you could have a guy, whatever. Who gives a shit? If you play good music and you stand up for what you believe and you're yourself,
matter.
Then you know wear what you want. I don't give a fuck. I'm not dressing you.
Yeah. I am a victim, not a victim. I'm a. I do prejudge though. I gotta tell you, I am a.
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. Cause like, especially playing and being at so many shows that I've been to and played, you see, when you see a band setting up or, you know, a drummer setting up and he has a fucking 35 piece drum set and you're like, all right, I know what this is gonna be.
Right. Yeah.
But he could fucking blow your mind. They could completely break that stereotype. And that's why I feel it's wrong to do that. And I've had it happen to me.
Yeah.
Where I go, all right, I'm about to see a metal band. And it just completely changed. Like, they're not what I expected at all.
Right.
And that's why I don't do that anymore.
Have you ever been... you just explained to me. But what I was going to say, you just pretty much explained. But... On a personal level, where like if I see someone walking down, let's say I'm hanging out at Greenpoint,
yeah,
and I look, this guy's a typical hipster looking dude,
yeah,
I prejudge him,
yeah,
But then if I go to the bar and hang out with him,
it's a cool dude.
He shows me I'm wrong. That's never happened to me. Now with the thing you just kind of explain how that has happened to you.
Yeah.
But I've never been wrong before. That's why I still prejudge. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. And I used to be the same way. Yeah, I never got proved wrong.
Yeah.
Until I did. And then I was like, all right, I can't.
It's tough to keep an open mind, man. And that's what hardcore is about, keeping an open mind.
And that's what I was saying, well, before we were recording about Judge. I can't have someone close their mind on me.
Yeah.
Because I drink.
Right.
All right. Whatever. Fuck it.
Yeah.
So if they're closed-minded toward me, then why should I support them?
Yeah, it's a good point, man.
And you don't want to be that person that's closed-minded to somebody else.
Do you have an opinion on bands like Judge and Youth of Today, Gorilla Biscuits, and
I love Gorilla Biscuits.
Well, how do you feel about them coming back now?
Oh, that's a different story.
You know, how do you feel about that?
But they're not like, I don't know. I feel like they're kind of coming back just to make some money right now. Because if you notice, they played what? Gorilla Biscuits, for instance. They played what? The Black and Blue Bowl and a Japanese European tour.
And they played the Revelation tour.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it came to New York or not, but they were on that with Youth of Today and fucking.
I didn't know that.
Super Touch and.
Then my fucking opinion is really stupid.
Why?
Because it's a known thing in bands. If you do like a European or Japanese tour, you're pretty much gonna make money. You make money.
They're actually kind of real fans too.
Oh, I agree. But that's why you make money, because they've heard shit from New York. They go, "Who's the best New York hardcore band? Gorilla Biscuits, right?" And they go, "Holy shit! Once in my lifetime, Gorilla Biscuits is coming to Okinawa.
You gotta go.
Gotta go.
You gotta go.
You gotta go."
Now, did you say Okinawa because you watch Karate Kid?
No, because that's the only Japanese name that I knew.
Because of Karate Kid,
probably. Or Hiroshima.
Yeah. Nagasaki.
Yeah, or Nagasaki. That's the only three.
Yeah. World War II and the Karate Kid. That's where all my Japan knowledge comes from.
That's it.
Now, do you have a problem with Judge coming back because the payday was good? Not saying that that's why they came back.
No. I don't have a problem with any bands coming back.
Because everyone needs money.
Yo, listen.
And if you can make money and
I have no problem with bands making money. I really don't.
No, of course not.
Listen, if I could support myself and my family and my girl or whatever with playing in a band, I would do it.
Yeah.
But it's not what I'm set out to do.
Right. It's not your goal. It's not your plan.
It's a different situation. If I was set out to fucking be on MTV or, well, not even MTV.
Not anymore. YouTube.
But, yeah, if I was going to be on YouTube, I would make music that was popular for the masses.
So you would have to throw your instruments out the window.
Yeah,
you'd have to
get a computer, laptop, the $1,500 MacBook, and you just fucking and you're good.
Yeah, I use
auto-tune your voice.
This app is called Music Studio. I can make a song with this app.
Let's do it.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Make a hardcore song.
I can't make a hardcore song. I can make like some kind of fucking dubstep shit.
Play the drums.
The only reason why I asked you about the bands coming back is because I saw a lot of shit online.
People had problems with Judge coming back.
I got no problem with them coming back.
I got no problem with anybody coming back. If that's what they want to do, then they do it.
If they're coming back because it's a payday, let them get their money because I'm getting what I want too.
To see them.
I didn't
see Gorilla Biscuits back in the day. I was too young. But I got a chance to see them now.
Yes, exactly. And Youth of Today and Outburst.
Youth of Today, the same thing. Breakdown, the same thing.
Breakdown, yeah.
You know, I didn't see these bands. They broke up way before I got into hardcore. But I got to see them.
But I feel like these people are like elitists. Or they feel like they're better than the scene.
See, and that's where the problem lies. Nobody's better than the scene.
The scene is
not one fucking person. The scene is every fucking person, asshole or not.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is.
I hate that shit.
I hate that shit more than anything.
Yeah.
Because If there was no scene, there's nothing for you to be better than.
Exactly.
And if these old school bands didn't do it first,
yeah,
there would be nothing for us to even fucking be talking about
right now.
You would
have nothing to complain about.
Right. And so shut the fuck up.
Basically, yeah, shut the fuck up.
It's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing. When these people are like, oh, well, why is Judge headlining? They should get fucking some new band Backtrack. And it's like, fuck off.
When I was at the Black and Blue Bowl, right, the first day, Breakdown was on. And they played, they went off. There was a guy at the bar.
Yeah.
I understand not everyone likes everything.
No.
I understand that because I don't like
Terror. Listen, I don't like every hardcore band. You can't. It's not possible.
But he was like, well, that's one band I'll never see again. And I was like, it's Breakdown.
Well, first of all, yes, you will never see them again.
Oh, okay.
And second of all, just shut up. Who and it's cares?
Like, they only played their old shit, and their new shit, I think, is kind of better.
I like their newer stuff. I haven't heard their new shit yet.
I don't know. It's like 15 years old.
Oh, that's real
new.
The
newer stuff. Yeah. Like fucking Battle Hymns for an Angry Planet, Blacklisted, fucking...
Yeah, dude, I love Breakdown. They're fucking great.
How can someone at a hardcore show, I'll never see Breakdown again? Breakdown yeah.
Well,
is hardcore.
You know what? He might. Was he a hardcore dude, or was he just somebody there?
He didn't look. He just looked like some dude.
So he was probably just like, he doesn't get it.
He's one of those guys that don't get it.
He don't get it. Because if you're a New York, especially a New York hardcore, you can't Breakdown. What?
That is New York hardcore.
It's that's the epitome of New York hardcore.
You know what? Now that I think about it, he kind of looked like an Oi guy a little bit, an old firm casuals.
Did he have
there.
A British accent?
And then. No, he didn't. Right. But that would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but, I love Oi music. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to correct.
Yo,
you
I love Oi music.
Oh,
man.
You guys were all talking about all that Cox.
Let me
bar
tell you something.
Music.
I make a lot of mistakes on a podcast. So if you're gonna set me right, do it now, man. I make
no,
a lot
it was
of
more,
mistakes.
It was Yvonne more than you.
What do you do?
The Cox bar.
What Riot?
He was talking about.
What Riot?
Yeah.
That's Cox.
He said one of the lyrics wrong, and I wanted to correct him, but I can't remember what it was now.
Oh, please remember.
I'm trying.
Please set that motherfucker straight.
Oh, and I wanted to tell him that was me and him that went to Little Italy and not you.
Yeah, it wasn't me because I don't remember that shit. But
after I took him to CB's for the first time.
Even if it was us, I wouldn't remember anyway. Yeah. My memory is so fucked up. His first, Yvonne, who was on like three episodes already.
Well, that's how we met, me and you, through Yvonne.
Yeah, that's how me and Paul met through Yvonne at... And you took him to his first CBGB show, which was Agnostic Front, which is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
First time I went to CBGB's, I hated it.
Really?
I was like, what is this? This place sucks. It's like a pathway, tables to the left, bar to the right, small dance floor, toilets to the back.
Small stage.
Second time I went there, I kind of got it. I don't know what it is that I got.
Yeah, no,
I kinda,
you can't... When you talk to somebody who's never been to CBGB's before... And you tell them, like, all right, this was a fucking hardcore venue, but it was the shittiest bar you could imagine. That was crazily overpriced if you wanted a drink. If you stood in the front by the stage, the fucking plywood from the stage would dig into your thighs. The bands were right on the stage. You could jump on the stage if you wanted to. The sound usually wasn't great. They would say, this place sounds like shit. But in my heart, and I think in your heart, that there was no place better.
It took me
and
two
visits. I don't know why. I don't know why either.
I was just going to say that. I don't know what it is. The second time I went there, I got it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is that I got.
I agree.
But I understood.
You understand. I think it was just the history. You had the fucking Ramones playing there. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, that's
yeah.
the roots. That's the original punk rock and hardcore. That's where it started. Gnostic Front, Warzone.
Sunday matinees.
Yeah, Sunday matinees. All that shit originated there. You know, everybody could say Black Flag, and I love Black Flag, but... Hardcore started in New York, which
yeah.
I don't know if you want to get into that American
finish your thought and we'll finish your thought. We'll take pisses and then we'll thoroughly get into that.
Okay, but that's what got me. I was and it took me two or three times also, and I was like, this place is a shithole. And then like I see the emotion on everybody, you know how great and the bands were right there interacting with the crowd, and that's the other thing about hardcore. There's no backstage, there's no
barrier,
roped off limit. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is what it is. The bands in the crowd are one cohesive unit.
That's why I respect these guys, but I don't.
No, you can't look up to them.
This is not a negative on them. I don't really look up to them.
No, you can't.
But I respect them.
You shouldn't look up to them. Yeah. That's not what it's about.
Yeah,
it's about your music is great. You can respect that. Your lyrics are awesome. I relate to them, but. You're not. I'm not gonna fucking put a poster of you on my wall. You're
exactly,
not an
right.
idol of mine.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what. And if I saw you walking down the street, I'd shake your hand, but I wouldn't ask you for an autograph.
Exactly. I wouldn't even want to take a picture with you.
Exactly.
Even though, unless it's Stigma.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
I love Stigma.
Unless it's Stigma. If it's Stigma.
But Stigma.
It's a whole different
I've
story.
I've hung out with Stigma. And he's fucking hilarious. He's so funny.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's hilarious. And he's only like 5'8".
Yeah.
And
he's old as fuck.
What the fuck?
He's
so funny.
He's such a
guinea. He's hilarious.
He's a fucking great dude. All right, let's pause real quick. I gotta take a piss.
All right.
Alright, so a while back a book came out. It's called American Hardcore, and it's by the author Stephen Blush. I bought the book, I read it, hated it.
I gotta say, I never read the book. I gotta say, I only seen the movie. Because if there's a movie, I'm not gonna read the book.
There's a movie?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a movie.
Get the fuck out of here.
How is it?
Shit.
Just like the book.
All right, no, listen. Let me say what I feel. And the movie's almost perfect in its... that how wrong it is. Not how wrong it is. All right, let me say. The first time I saw the movie, I despised it. I hated it.
Right.
The only mention of New York was... Jimmy G saying, what do you want me to say? What do we smoke dust and got fucked up and played in the show?
Yeah.
Like the, and Vinny Stigma being an asshole for 30 seconds. That was the only part that even mentioned the word New York.
Right.
And then I saw it again a second time. And I sat back and I thought, and I hated it, but I sat back and I thought, if I told my recollection of the beginnings of hardcore, how would it be biased? And it would be biased toward New York.
Right.
And that's kind of what makes it perfect.
For them.
Because it's his... It's not saying this is the end-all, be-all history of hardcore. What it's saying is, this is my hardcore life. And that's... I don't know if he meant to put it out that way, or I could be completely interpreting wrong, but that's kind of where I fell with it.
I can see that. Like, I understand what you're saying totally. Because I wonder if he might be a West Coast guy.
Yeah. He's got it. If he's not, then that fucking movie really blew.
Right, because I almost felt like he kind of blew... DRI's from Texas. He kind of blew by them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was Black Flag. He didn't even say Negative Approach. Like, nothing.
That's huge.
It's huge.
That's giant.
Gigantic. And like, there was no mention of East Coast, Philly, none of that shit. Boston, like, none of it was in there.
And I almost feel like he went to D.C. because he had to.
Had to, because of the Bad Brains. But, yeah. I don't know. That's where I went. I still don't agree with it, and I don't...
Can I tell you something? I don't consider Bad Religion, Black Flag... No. I don't consider Bad Religion or Circle Jerks hardcore. For me, they're punk bands.
I agree, but I kind of... I'm in with the mindset of...
That was
my stool. I didn't fart.
No, I thought
that's a much different sound.
It sounded like wind.
No, that was my joystick. Okay.
I guess it would be a fart if it sounded like wind. Yeah. But I don't consider those bands hardcore.
I also think that's kind of where hardcore went a little weird. Like, I don't think there needs to be this great divide where you have punk bands over here and heavier punk bands in the middle, hardcore bands, and then metal bands. I just think it all just needs to be punk rock or hardcore, whatever you want to call it.
Here's where I think there is a divide. Listen to Bad Religion's first album.
I agree. No,
right?
Yeah, I love Bad
Religion. And then listen to Victim in Pain.
I know. No, I get it. It's totally huge. Different. But I don't think there needs to be where, well, I only listen to hardcore and I can never listen to Bad Religion or Coxbar or Casualties or Subhumans or whatever.
That's bullshit.
It's bullshit. And if you're into hardcore and you've never even gave it a shot.
You have to listen to punk if you're into hardcore. You have to.
It goes together. They go together. And a lot of shows now, like, it's only hardcore bands.
Right.
And it's like, all right, 2 years ago, or no, 2 years ago, last year, when Rancid played Black and Blue, I don't know if you read the blog, how many people were pissed that Rancid was headlining.
Now, how can you be pissed? Like, let me tell you something. When I saw that, I was like, what the
It's weird.
I was like, what?
But you know why it's weird? Because the people who put on the shows made that divide, right?
Yeah.
And so to you or to me or to whoever is looking at the flyer is saying, that's weird. Why the fuck is Rancid, a punk ska band, headlining a hardcore show? But Rancid's fucking awesome. They're a great band. And it's like, why wouldn't you want to see them?
Yeah.
They came from the same streets that Black Flag did.
And they're a real band. They're real.
They're a real DIY dude. You know, they did everything. They're on their own record label. They did everything themselves. Punk band. And why wouldn't you want to see them? They're amazing. They're great.
All right, let me tell you about that. You know, we go to Black and Blue every year.
Yeah.
I see you there every year. Mm-hmm. It's like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard, or when I read Rancid was headlining, I didn't like it. I wasn't a Rancid fan. Yvonne gave me like three of their albums.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. And that one self-titled one with the skull on the cover.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's the heaviest one.
That's I like that one. Right? Yeah. So here's where all credit goes to Rancid. Not only did they kick fucking ass and they were awesome, they didn't even play that album that much.
No.
They played their Outcome the Wolves type shit.
Yeah.
And it's still fucking...
And it turns you.
It's still... I listen to like Let's Go now and I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that fucking
show. They're a great band. And that's the other thing about hardcore. Hardcore is not meant to be... Well, this is how my opinion and how I feel. I don't think it's supposed to be really listened to. Like, I think that's also a subsidiary. Like, hardcore is meant to be experienced and felt and live.
It's meant to be absorbed in your soul.
It's not just, you know, go to a show, put on a CD and listen to it, which is great, and I've spent probably most of my life listening to it, but... I feel like if you just hear the records, you don't get the full experience of the band.
Yeah.
And that's... I've had a couple bands turn me both ways, actually. I had Bouncing Souls... I don't know if you like Bouncing Souls. You like Bouncing Souls?
No, I never got into them.
I used to love Bouncing Souls. Their first two albums are awesome. My girlfriend, like I said, never really listened to punk rock or hardcore. I turned her on to Bouncing Souls because they're kind of a middle of the road. Heavy, not too...
Like an H2O kind of thing.
Right, and I love H2O too.
But, yeah.
So we go to see, it was Sick of It All, Bane, which I don't know if you like, but I love, and Bouncing Souls headline. Good show. And it was at Terminal 5. Terminal 5 in the city. They did an acoustic set.
Who did?
Bouncing Souls. All acoustic.
And no one knew
everyone loved it, except me.
But no one knew this going in.
No. They didn't say it. They weren't like, hey, listen, just for tonight, we're going to do...
Now, did they...
I would have went anyway for Bane and Sick of It All, but I was like...
Wait, did they, like, rock out with their acoustics?
Yeah.
Or they all
sat tried doing the same songs, but they were, like, a little slower in acoustic.
Dude, you just blew my mind. What the fuck happened?
I don't know. It was
what
terrible. I don't know. It was awful.
That's the weirdest
and
thing I ever heard.
Since then, Bouncing Souls come... Skip.
That's it.
Skip.
Yeah.
Done. That's pissed
like,
me off.
That's like the, That's like, you know, you hear like old timers going to Bob Dylan and he doesn't play any hits.
No hits. Yeah.
I can't
you know
believe
what else?
That. I'm really I'm
really
out of my element right now. I can't
you know
believe
what
you just said that.
Really bugs me.
Holy shit.
Now that I've noticed in the past like 2 or 3 years, the encore.
There's no reason for that.
H2O did it. I've seen Madball do it.
What's the purpose of that?
I don't know. It's awful. I walked out on H2O. Walked out.
Why? Encore?
Yeah. It was me and two of my friends from Death Dealer, two of my buddies. We go to see H2O at Gramercy Park in the city. And they play their set. It was awesome. Great set. Love H2O. But I realized they didn't play 5-Year Plan, which is their biggest song probably, right?
Wait a minute. Wait. So not only did they do an encore, they did 5-Year Plan as the song?
And a cover, yeah. They did a, I think it was a grill. I think it was Cats and Dogs. But they walked off, and I said, they didn't play 5-Year Plan yet. And I said, they're doing a fucking encore. And I said to my boy, I said, I'll meet you outside. I'm not staying around for this.
You know, it's funny you said that. Remember I told you about Breakdown at Black and Blue?
Yeah.
The singer said, we're not a fucking rock band, so we're not doing no fucking encore.
Oh, man.
He actually said that.
Good. Good.
That's fucking crazy.
And I walked out and I waited outside for the next 10 minutes till my friends came out and I was like, what'd they play? And he's like, 5-Year Plan and Cats and Dogs. Or whatever. It was a Girl Biscuits cover. And I don't remember exactly
what. You're in a band. What's the purpose of that?
I don't know.
What is it?
I have no idea. It makes no sense to me. Alright, I could understand if you're playing. It's not supposed to be something planned. Okay? It's supposed to be something.
Right.
You go out and you murder.
You play your whole set.
You play your whole shit. You kill it. And the crowd is so happy with what you just did out
there.
They
want more.
They're like, give us one more, motherfuckers. Let's go. And if it's planned and you're at a fucking hardcore show, come on, dude.
It's a little suspect.
That's bullshit, is
what that is. That's a little suspect. You're right. Five-year plan. They didn't play five-year plan.
They didn't. And I was like, how could you not play a five-year plan? And they always play it. And then I was like, fuck, they're going to do an encore.
That is like their hit.
That's their hit. That's like the first H2O song everybody. My friends look out for me.
It was on the back of the shirt.
Yeah.
It was on the back of my friend had the H2O shirt with that on the back.
Yeah. It bugged the
what
shit.
What did Mad Bull do?
Oh, it was that crazy donkey, which is this fucking tiny stage. They didn't even go up like backstage. They stood on the side.
They were still there.
And I was like, come on. You guys are obviously standing right on the side of the stage.
That's fucking hilarious.
And then they came. I don't remember what song. I was just pissed off.
Dude, I like Mad Bull though.
I love Mad Bull. Those three Mad Bull albums, Look My Way, Hold It Down, and Set It Off, are probably three of my favorite hardcore albums of all time.
No, come on, all time?
Top 25?
Throw me a bone?
Yeah.
All right, for me?
Between the three top 25.
I'm taking Look My Way, throwing it out.
Really?
Throwing Look My Way out the window. All right.
Fair enough.
Hold It Down is one of my favorite albums of all time.
All right. Set It Off?
I love Set It Off. I love Demonstrate My Style.
Demonstrate My Style is really good too.
Look My Way, Out the Window, Legacy Can Go.
Empire.
Dude.
Rebellion.
Infiltrate the System.
Oh, I forgot
and Empire.
About that one too.
No, I like Empire. I like the last two. Dude,
really?
I like the last two albums.
I almost asked Freddie Mibble for my money back.
Get the fuck out of here, really?
I wasn't really going to do it, but yeah, I wanted to.
Dude, I like those last two albums.
Nah, really
what's
bad.
Wrong with Empire?
All right, I'm going to tell you what bothers me about Mabel now. And I, like I said, I've loved Mabel forever.
They were one of those bands that kept it alive.
Since Ball of Destruction, like old school Mabel. I love Mabel.
When he was like a kid.
They were basically an Agnostic Front cover band.
Yeah, with the kids.
The kid. So, but what happened now, and I don't know if it's just natural course of being a band and getting better musicians, but it just seems like when you see Mabel, their show is so choreographed and planned. You didn't see him this year at Black and Blue.
I haven't seen him in a while, actually.
All right. Their show is so choreographed and so set up from A to B to C to D that there's no raw power to it anymore. It lost it. Like when they play Get Out and those pauses that are in the middle, they have them so perfectly, and it's great. They're great musically. It's not a knock on how well they play because they're amazing. It's just they lost that.
The dirtiness, the rawness.
Edge. Yeah, they lost that edge. And that's kind of what bugs me about it. And it's not a knock on them. I love them. But it just, they lost that disconnect happened for me. I don't know why.
That's interesting you said that, because I work with a guy, his name is Matt, right? He's been into, he's about 41, 42. He's been to all the shows.
Yeah.
He drives up to Boston to see Negative Approach.
Oh, that's great.
He drives up to Boston to see the FUs and Jerry's Kids and all those old bands, and he drives down to here and there. He goes, but I think the last Sick of All album he listened to was like Just Look Around. Like he's stuck in that fucking era. And I think part of his problem is, he loves that dirtiness, that rawness.
I do too, though. And I'm not from that era.
And I think some of Mabel's polished. Mabel's very polished.
Extremely
now.
Polished.
Now, this is coming from a guy who likes it. I like those dudes.
You like the polished.
I don't like the polished.
You like the albums.
But those albums are good.
I'm not saying they're bad. I think that polished live aspect of it gave a bad taste in my mouth for me.
I can see that, though. I can definitely see that. I totally understand where
you're
coming from.
They're not bad albums. I'm not saying that. I just don't. I like old school Mad Bull better.
Hold It Down is one of the best ever.
Demonstrate My Style is really good, too.
It's really fucking good. And
that, but that fucking, like, Freddy, fucking tough guy Freddy, tatted up in the front of the crowd, mic in the crowd, people jumping all over.
That's hardcore.
That's hardcore, but that shit don't happen no more.
No?
Not really. And it's probably because they're used to playing big festivals and shit. They're probably... All right, what would you think is the biggest touring hardcore bands right now?
I'd have to go with the big two, Agnostic Front, Sick of It All.
And Mad Bull.
I guess that would be number three, right?
Yeah.
If
they play festivals all the time. Giant festivals.
Yeah, who else would there be, really?
That's it. Black Flag came back doing this flag thing, but it's not really good. they play like little places in Brooklyn. Like they're not. Like,
yeah, that guy I was just telling you about, Matt. He went to go see them. Yeah,
my friend.
You know what's fucked up? The dude I was telling you about, Matt, I work with.
Yeah.
I work at a company where we have to wear the same uniforms. Everyone wears the same uniforms.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, you have no idea who's into what.
Of course.
I went to see Two Man Advantage and DRI at the Crazy Donkey. Yeah. And I saw that motherfucker there drinking a beer. I was like, what the fuck? And it's not like he has a shaved head. Yeah, yeah.
Just normal dude.
You can't have a mohawk. But, you know, he had regular hair.
Yeah.
Gray hair.
Normal dude.
What the fuck are you doing here? Turns out, not only is he into hardcore, like real hard, he turned me on to those Boston bands.
Yeah, yeah.
His girlfriend writes for, like, some kind of hardcore thing.
Really?
And they're
That's
at,
awesome.
They go to a lot of fucking shit.
Give him a Death Dealer record.
I'm gonna.
Yeah.
The problem is he's stuck in that era.
It's alright.
I don't know if he can get. I don't know. If, the only thing I. The
I
only,
feel you. I feel
I gave him Caught in the Trap.
Yeah.
I gave him the. You know the Alligators?
Nah, I don't know the Alligators.
You need the Alligators.
All right, give me an Alligators record.
It's Roger from Noxic Front.
Oh, really?
But in a like.
What happened to the Disasters?
He still does that too.
Oh wow.
But he does like.
Busy motherfucker.
Oh, he's busy, alright. But the Alligators is like. Victim and Pain style.
Really?
Oh, it's fucking... It's really good.
Well, he's Arizona now, right?
I have no idea.
He's not in New York no more.
But the Alligators are West Coast. Everyone from that band is from the West Coast except for him. Dude, it's fucking
he
great.
He don't live in New York no more. Neither does Toby.
L.A.
L.A.
The L.A. Danny Diablo, too. How you feel about it? Yo.
That's bullshit. I feel like you can't rep New York hardcore no more if you don't live in New York. Even if you started it.
All right, so I want to how do people get your band Death Dealer?
The easiest way is go to Facebook. Well, actually, you know what? There's another band named Death Dealers.
I'm sure there's a bunch of there's a bunch of Shell Shocks too.
Yeah. Go to Bandcamp. It's Death Dealer li.bandcamp.com. You could download our demo for free, and on there's links to Facebook and Twitter, and that's where we post all our shows if you want to come out, check us. Actually, my guitar player sent me a link, a thing for all the shows we have coming up.
All right, good.
I have it right here.
Hold nice.
On. I got to find it in my stupid phone.
But for this episode of the podcast, it's not going to be my podcast logo. It's going to be the Death Dealer album art.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, thank man, that's great. Because I really appreciate you doing the show, man.
I appreciate doing right it. Now. I love it.
And I want to apologize for blowing the first 30 right. minutes of the show.
We'll do it again. We got to keep going.
I want to get you back. Cause
we'll do it. We'll do it with me and Yvonne.
This was really easy. I just had to sit back and let you go, which is great.
It was easy.
That's the best.
It's the way we do it. Old school. We got the family. Can I just plug the
do what you gotta do,
the shows
man.
Real quick? All right.
Go ahead.
We're playing July 20th in Deer Park with Letters to Exiles and Ark of the Covenant. It's a place called One Stop Media. I'm sorry. All this stuff's on our Facebook.
Which is what?
Facebook.com/... Death Dealer NYHC, I think. August 31st, we're playing at the Railroad Inn in Valley Stream with the Boogie Brains, Barney B. Jones, and the Fanboys. That's what we got lined up right now. I think the one at the Rail is free. So just come down, hang out, see us, download the album for free.
If you like hardcore, you would like Death Dealer.
If you
they're
like hardcore,
really good, man.
Just let us know how you like it. If you like it, if you don't like it, tell us you don't like it.
The reason why I like it so much is because it's old school, but it sounds fresh. It has an old school style, but it sounds fresh.
When we started this band,
and that might be due to the singer, by the way.
It is, Joe. When we started this band, we said we all love 80s, 90s hardcore, old school hardcore, but. It's not the 80s and the 90s. It's not going to sound like that. So we said, let's keep it old school, but put our spin on it. And that's what we tried to
do.
It
comes across.
Yeah.
I listened to it 10 times on the way here. I live 30 minutes away.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it. I really am. That means a lot to me.
Yeah,
like
man. Thanks, Paul, man. I really appreciate that.
I've listened to almost every episode of this podcast.
Thanks for the support, man.
I love it. It's great. I fucking crack up at work.
Good.
Fucking laugh my ass off. Sounds good. All right,
thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, later.
Bye.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not done yet.
All right.
I want to close the show with what I consider
here we go. I forgot about this.
Wait a minute. The most... The I know it's not grammatically correct, but the most perfect hardcore song.
All right, let's hear it.
This song, it wasn't like I was researching the perfect hardcore song. I had my iPod on shuffle. This song came on. I said, holy shit, this is the perfect song. It starts off slow, little intro. Then it kicks into like a groove. Then the song kicks in fast, bam, bam, bam. Then the lyrics come in. The lyrics are fucking straight ahead, positive, positive shit. It has a breakdown. It has sing-along. It has a glorious pylon. It's the perfect hardcore song. The song is...
I don't know.
The Time Is Now by the band Side by Side. Here it is.